So we got a really interesting email from one of our listeners. She said, why is it that every time I share something that I do well, I feel the accuser telling me that what I've done is really nothing? Sometimes I find myself prefacing my gift or my sharing by saying, well, I really don't know how to fill in the blank, but here it is. And honestly, I often don't feel qualified. Other times I don't want to share because I don't want to be viewed as competition. I go from feeling really confident to very insecure in a matter of moments. And lots of Grit and Grace listeners are nodding their heads going, yes, right about now. I felt the same way too. So Amy, what is the most direct line from confidence to insecurity for you?
For me, it is, if I'm sharing something, it is feeling that the other person's disagreement or disapproval, or even, especially if I feel, I switch right to they don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And that erodes my self-confidence. And it's really, it's a people-pleasing trait. I know it. But how about you, Sherry? What is it for you?
Well, I completely identify and agree with what you said, because that is the worst, especially if they don't respond right away. Like if I'm getting a flat affect and I can't read their face at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so hard. But what I've been noticing in myself more lately is if it's something I've been good at, but I have recently failed at, I then have been noticing everybody else who has not only not been failing at it. Well, here's the thing. It's not even that they are so much better than me at it. It's that they haven't failed at it. Like they're still doing the thing where I crashed and burned. And so that just makes me want to crawl into a hole and quit. Failing shouldn't be that big a deal. But especially if I'm focusing on other people, that's where the insecurity comes in.
Well, that's what I noticed about both of our answers is an over-focus on other people. And here we go.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're processing what we learned from Shannon Popkin, author of Comparison Girl, Lessons from Jesus on Me-Free Living in a Measure-Up World.
Comparison Girl is a Bible study which examines the conversations Jesus had and the stories he shared with people who, like us, were caught up in comparison.
The study is built around the upside-down comparison statements of Jesus, such as, the last will be first, which he often used in these stories and conversations.
Chapters 2 through 6 look at various ways that we tend to compare ourselves, comparing sin, wealth, appearances, our work for Jesus, and status.
Each chapter is broken into lessons which begin with a Bible passage to read and end with application questions and a meditation.
Since this upside-down life is meant to be lived together with others, it would be great to gather some friends and do this study as a group.
Sherry, you have come up with a fantastic lose who you're not that we all need to live out really well. Tell us what it is.
Okay, well, it's good. It's possibly going to sound really dumb or obvious, but I need this reminder constantly. In order to lose who you're not, you need to realize you're not her.
Okay, that is not really dumb. We all do that.
You know, it's funny because I was recently invited to join a Facebook group from my college. And so people have been posting tons of old photos. Now, let me just say, there are some amazing pictures of amazing 80s hair and clothes. And I am in deep morning because I miss shoulder pads and stirrup pants so badly.
Really?
I'm like, oh, if they would just make a comeback. Yes, really. Go ahead, mock me. See if I care.
Well, I do like stirrup pants. And actually, last year I bought stirrups from Amazon that I can clip on the bottom of my leggings to keep them tucked into my boots. Why don't they just make stirrups on them?
One of my favorite outfits literally had, I had shoulder pads under the leg of mutton sleeves, and I had stirrup pants and probably 3 or 4 inch heels. It was truly amazing and oh so very 80s. So I miss my favorite fashions, quote unquote fashions of the 80s. But I'll tell you, I do not miss the incessant habit of comparing myself to the other girls. And you've known me long enough, and you've listened to me lament about every single personality test result I get. So you can probably guess which girls I constantly compared myself to.
Give me choices.
No, no.
Okay. Okay. So
I'm putting you on the spot.
I forget all the official names of them, but the happy party girl.
Yes. You ding, 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 ding.
7 on the Enneagram. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yes. Totally. Yes. Pegged. Yes. As I go through the Facebook group, I'm like, look, she was so happy in college. Look, she was so happy in college. Look, she was so happy in college. Yeah. No, no. You've absolutely read my mind. And here's the thing. Okay. Here's the crazy thing. You and I both know Sherry Fletcher. She's a fellow podcaster and speaker.
And drop dead gorgeous woman. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And she even spells her name correctly. And we reconnected after many decades. We had known each other briefly in high school. And here's the thing, in high school, in college, you know, so back in that era, I wanted so badly to be her. Like, she had the right name, and then I just wanted her personality, you know? I wanted to be glamorous like her. I wanted to be talented. I wanted to be popular like her. And when we reconnected just a few years ago, you want to guess who she spent her life wanting to be like?
I bet I can guess.
It was ridiculous. She wanted to be smart or academic or whatever it was like me. And I'm like, you already have the perfect name. Like, and here we are, two Sherrys, spelled C-H-E-R-I, who wanted to switch personalities. And it is such a complete waste of time comparing ourselves to each other and wishing that we could be someone else, wishing we could be her. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is my lose who you're not statement. You're not her. And I am practicing saying that out loud to myself in the mirror.
Well, you know me, Sherry, and our listeners have gotten to know me. I kind of wear quirky and different as a badge of honor a lot of times, you know, or I used to, especially when I was in high school. Like, the quirkier the outfit, the better, that kind of thing. But I tell you when I had my worst time of comparison, and it was when I first joined the Proverbs 31 speaker team.
Ooh.
Because everybody was 100 miles ahead of me, you know? And so my worst regret about that time is, instead of learning from the women who were 100 miles ahead of me, I kind of hid in shame from the women 100 miles ahead of me. So instead of expressing where there was a gap, because listen, in some cases, there really is a gap. And she is 100 miles ahead of me. But if we would just be humble, instead of comparing, if we would go, oh, wow, here's an opportunity for me to learn, then we could learn from those people instead of hiding in shame and trying to pretend like there isn't a gap, or trying to overcompensate for the gap, or trying to, you know, whatever. And I just, like you said, it's a total waste of time.
Well, here's what I find fascinating is you kept using the phrase 100 miles ahead. And, you know, I resonate with that. And I know our listeners feel that, like we all feel that in our gut. But the truth is, you guys were often in the same room. So it wasn't necessarily 100 physical miles ahead. It was had to do with experience and expertise and skill.
Yes.
And from what you just said, you're the one who actually increased the distance between you guys by hiding from them.
Well, because that's what perfectionists do, right? And that was that period of time. And then also my young mother days, those were my worst times of perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And it was during that time when I joined that team that perfectionism really started to bite me in the butt. Mm-hmm. I mean, before that, it had kind of, you know, I had kind of gotten along with it, okay? Mm-hmm. But then it started really damaging things, including relationships, because when we compare and when we find ourselves lacking, inevitably we will hide, we'll create facades to try to hide how much we feel like we fall short. And that creates distance in relationships. So well said.
All right. So moving from lose who you're not. Okay. One last time. You're not her.
Yay.
Freedom. We don't have to try to be her, whoever your her might be anymore. And moving to love who you are. And my statement for this is going to be, you are part of a bigger picture. You are part of a bigger picture. And I want to look at that in two ways. You are a vital part and you are only a part. So you're really important, but you're not the whole thing. So we got a great listener question that I wanted to weave into this. The question was, comparison steals my joy, but how do I stop it? What is a practical first step to stopping comparison when I feel it creeping up on me? And I would like to share with our listeners a little story about an experience you and I had not too long ago that, for me at least, illustrates what I hope will be a useful answer for all of our listeners. So we had the privilege of being at Focus on the Family a number of weeks ago. It was so much fun. It was amazing to see you again.
Yes, actually.
I think I warned you that when I saw you at the airport, I might melt into a puddle of tears and fling myself non-socially distancedly at you in joy.
Listeners, just imagine us running towards each other in slow motion with our arms open. It was kind of like that.
Oh my goodness. It was so good to be together again. And, you know, of course, John and Jim are just amazing hosts, and Ashley had done such a lovely job of preparing for the interview. And the first question ended up being directed to me, and then the next one came to you. And you started answering the question, my critical brain kicked in, and I realized I had not included any scripture in my response. And my brain started to go into attack mode, like, see, you're not really a Jesus girl. You're not spiritual. Amy is the spiritual one here. And it was this incredibly pivotal moment because, as we've talked for a number of episodes, I now have a name for the kind of thing that started happening, and that's recrimination. And so that's what was starting. And my brain started doing, I should have. I've ruined everything. But then there was that part of my brain that's learning to love who I am. And I realized in a very small way, and of course, this is the Holy Spirit working. Let's be clear. This is not me doing this. The part that's me is the brain that's going on overdrive and being critical. But the Holy Spirit reminded me, you're not the whole picture here. This interview isn't all about you. And I was able to remember, wait, this is recrimination. I don't do that anymore. It's not all about me. This interview isn't all up to me. Yes, I'm a part of this interview, but I'm a part of a bigger picture. And so I was able to shut down perfectionism, even as it was firing up. And I was able to just turn and listen to you. And from a brain chemistry and a body chemistry standpoint, I got a little shot of adrenaline when I realized, ooh, I wish I'd included scripture. But it wasn't a full adrenaline dump, which I don't know if you know the data on this, but when you've had a full dump of adrenaline, it takes 28 minutes to leave the body.
Wow.
Yes.
I did not know that.
The short burst, you can clear it out. But when it does a full on dump, and so, you know, even remembering that back to that, I remember that beginning of the tingly feeling, and then I remember it stopped. And I didn't have to battle that sense that everything had gone wrong. And here's the thing that was so much fun. When I was able to realize I am a part of a bigger picture, like I'm a part of this, but I'm only a part. Then I was able to turn and go, yeah, she's doing a beautiful job of sharing a story of Jesus. How about instead of sitting here having this, and the listeners who do this will understand this all happened in my head in like 5 seconds. I know it's taken me 5 minutes to tell it, but it all happens in a really short period of time. And I was able to turn and listen and truly enjoy what you were sharing. And you were amazing.
Well, so were you. And wait till our listeners hear this.
Stop interrupting me. You were amazing. Not in a, oh, she's so much better than I am kind of way, but oh my goodness, I am listening to my friend Amy, who loves Jesus so much and is sharing her heart and truths from Scripture in such an important way for those who will be listening to this broadcast. Mm. And I was just so grateful. I was like, instead of being overwhelmed by comparison, I just felt this sense of gratitude settle in on me. And again, I want to be clear, this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not me grasping or white knuckling or anything else. And it was just an amazing experience, and very different from some of the ones that I know I've shared in the past on this podcast.
Well, such a great answer to that question. And for those of you that are listening, we don't know the air date for that yet, but we will, and we will share it with you. So I think we're such a great team, Sherry Gregory.
I love being part of this team with you, Amy Carroll. So what is your love who you are statement?
Mine is, you are wonderful, but not more wonderful than her. You know, the part of the interview with Shannon that blew my doors off was something I have never considered before. And it was that flip that she did on us, that that sometimes we compare ourselves more favorably than we should. And I thought about that, and I really resonated with that. So my parents, growing up, you know, it was a big deal at our house. We were not allowed to speak negatively about people. We were really taught humility growing up. And so you would think that this would not be a struggle for me, but I'm a one on the Enneagram.
Okay. You know, like, you're inside your cells are little microscopes and magnifying glasses and binoculars by which you are constantly checking out the people around you so you can compare them to what they should be doing.
And don't forget the scales, you know, those are the ones that have right on one side and what you just did on the other side, right? So I can be judgy. Ones are judgy, and I can be really judgy if I get into a comparison kind of place. And I especially become judgy of people who have created their own mess. Oh gosh, but you know what? Who of us have not created our own mess? You know, it was funny. One of our sons, who shall remain nameless, did something recently that was kind of a mess up. And Barry and I were discussing it, and I was kind of getting a little hot under the collar. And then Barry and I started talking about all the stuff, stupid stuff that we have done, bad decisions we've made, money we've thrown down into a hole. I mean, all the stuff, you know. But in the moment, sometimes it can be very easy to become judgy of other people and compare ourselves in ways that are unhealthy, that we are thinking more of ourselves than we ought, if we want to put it in biblical terms. And, you know, I was just reminded as I was thinking back through that portion of the talk that we had with Shannon, is that the opposite of judgment in a situation like that is compassion and kindness. And so I was drawn back into remembering that each one of us, we are wonderful. There are things to be loved about us because God created us, but we are not more wonderful than any other person made in the image of God.
So good.
Sherry, you have come up with some great questions for us to live our one life well, better than we were before we listened.
Yeah. You know, the thing, and I remember watching your face as Shannon was talking about the importance of being a spout rather than focusing on the lines, because that's been your theme of living a life of pouring ourselves out into others. And so, you know, one of the takeaways I got was, when we're pouring, we're not measuring. So a simple question could be, am I pouring or am I measuring? Mm-hmm. And that alone could be a great litmus test. The first question I came up with is, where's the need with my name on it? And I love how Shannon described walking into a room, noticing that somebody is already doing her thing, doing our thing. And instead of competing or sulking, the idea is to just immediately look for where God wants us to pour out what's currently in our cup. what he's placed into our cup. And so it's like, in my case, if so there's enough helpers, well, then maybe this Enneagram 2 is going to do something else for the next hour or whatever, rather than barging my way or inserting myself where I'm not needed. But to be able to take that moment of pause and say, okay, Lord, where do you want me? What is the need with my name on it? And it, you know, it reminds me of a time that I came into a lunch at a retreat and I was late. I still have that schoolgirl fear of walking into the cafeteria and nobody having a place saved for me. And sure enough, you know, the popular table was already full and nobody had saved me a seat. And so I was like, wah! And, you know, I ended up in the back at a quiet table with two gals who just wanted to talk. And it was lovely. It wasn't what I would have necessarily planned for myself, but it was clearly the need with my name on it that day. So the first question, where's the need with my name on it? My second question is, what do I need to learn? Our discussion with Shannon convicted me that I've been bringing a dumpster of disgust to social media. I'm just going to be honest here.
Well, there's a lot of disgusting stuff on social media right now. Can we just say
I understand.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Enneagram 1, Amy 1, you can say that. And so what goes through my head is things like, I can't believe they chose to, or I can't believe they don't understand. I can't believe they believe. And so here's the thing. From differing politics to different experiences of the pandemic, I've been guilty of that superiority comparison she's been talking about. Like, early on in the pandemic, I spent months biting off the heads of people who were enjoying all the free time and who were talking about drawing closer to their families, because that was just not my experience. And when I moved from judgment, like you were talking about, to curiosity, funny thing, I discovered there's a lot of perspectives and life experiences that I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. And since I'm a part of a bigger picture, it's important to realize I have a lot to learn about that bigger picture, which is just another way of saying a lot to learn about the body of Christ. And in this specific case, I need to learn how to celebrate with people who are enjoying their lives, even when I'm struggling. And then the third one is actually a question from a listener, and I'm going to leave this open-ended. So I'm not going to even try to answer this or even offer an example of it, because I'd love for us to discuss this in Grit and Grace, the community on Facebook. What are some common triggers for the comparison trap? What are some of my common triggers for the comparison trap? And I think each one of us has different triggers, and becoming aware of what they are can be really helpful in either heading them off at the pass or at least shortening the reaction to them.
Oh, that's going to be a great conversation. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there, Sherry, in the conversation? Okay. Can't wait to hear what you all have to say.
Yes. All right, Action Amy, tell us what to do.
Well, as I always think of this in terms of red flags. Whenever we're trying to change habits, what are the red flags that can wave at us so that we stop a bad habit in the midst of it? Kind of like what you described on Focus on the Family. You had this red flag of recrimination and you stopped the reaction. And I think that's a great first step, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have to do this perfectly. The reaction might have started, the comparison might have started, but it doesn't have to be like a boulder rolling down the hill. We can put a stop to it. And so I thought the two emotions that I think for me, at least, and you can speak on this, Sherry, are connected with comparison are kind of the opposites, which one is shame, not feeling like I measured up and feeling ashamed of that. And the other is superiority, feeling superior to someone else. And so we can use those two emotions as red flags that when we start feeling shame, and it was so funny, we've talked about physical responses. My physical responses, I get this little creep in my scalp. It's a weird thing, like a little tingling in my scalp. I had it happen the other night. And I was like, that's when it's that extreme, because I don't always feel shame to that extreme. When it's that extreme, it's a big, humongous red band. Manner, you know, or superiority. So those, be on high alert to those. That's action number one. Number two is a simple one. Manage your time on social media. I think social media has blown up the comparison situation.
Yeah.
And Anson and I watched a documentary that he brought to us the other night. It's called The Social Dilemma. Y'all, everybody needs to watch this. The Social Dilemma. It is interviews, well, the most compelling part of it are interviews with people who are creating social media or have been creating social media, talking about the manipulative nature of social media. Mm-hmm. My hair was ablaze and my head was exploding. It was like some of the realizations that I had when I came to that, as I watched that documentary, were just explosive. And for me personally, I have taken my social media off my phone indefinitely. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think we all need to manage our social media.
All right, great actions. And then what's the scripture that goes with these two episodes?
Such a beautiful one. Philippians 2 verses 3 through 7, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself by taking the form of a servant.
And what do you see as the grit in this whole, I was going to say comparison game, but we're not calling it a game. So what for you is the grit when it comes to comparison?
It's really paying attention to those red flags. You know, when we talked to Shannon at the very beginning, she talked about this as a strategy of our enemy, Satan. This is not an, oh, well, I guess that's just one of my weaknesses kind of issue. Mm-hmm. This is a battle for our souls. Talking to Shannon just makes me take that way more seriously. So the grit is sitting up and being intentional about watching for those red flags. Hmm. And you, how about what's the grace?
You know, the grace comes straight from the scripture, being reminded that our role model, who is Jesus, he wasn't playing the measuring game. He poured himself completely out for us. And he made himself, he who is God, made himself a baby, made himself a servant. And if he could come to this earth and make himself small and lowly, then there's hope that I, who typically my fleshly response is to walk into a room and want to make myself important, want to impress the most important person in the room. But it gives me the assurance that I can learn as I'm following his lead. I can learn to live from the spout rather than the lines. I can learn to empty myself, take the form of the servant, and learn humility step by step. And that when I fail, when I fall prey to the enemy's strategies, I have somebody I can turn back to. I have a role model I can look at, and I can try again.
Sherry, that is so rich. I cannot wait to continue talking with you about this. For our Patreon supporters, we're going to be sending you even more of this conversation.
We have three questions from our listeners that didn't fit into our interview with Shannon and didn't fit into this conversation, but we're going to be answering them specifically for you. We hope you've enjoyed episode 204 of Grit and Grace, the podcast.
Listeners, we're so grateful that you join us each and every week.
And we're so grateful to Kriegel Publications for their sponsorship of this week's episode of Grit and Grace.
Check out the webpage at gritandgracethepodcast.com/episode204. There you'll find this week's transcript, a link to order, Comparison Girl, Lessons from Jesus on Me Free Living in a Measure Up World, and a link to some great freebies, including Comparison Girl prayer cards.
Join us next week when we'll be talking with Meg Apperson, author of Sky Full of Stars, Learning to Surrender to God's Perfect Plans.
For today, grow your grit.
Embrace God's grace.
And as God reveals the next step to live your one life well,
we'll be cheering you on. So take it.